Morning, church. Welcome to St. John's Live on this Feast of St. Francis, a celebration of St. Francis, including a virtual blessing of animals. So just a couple announcements, the first being if you have Fido or Fluffy around, you may want to bring them close because we will have an animal and a wild animal and a people blessing at the end of this service. So you might want those animals close to you this Sunday morning, unless they're close to you in your own homes every Sunday morning. For those of you who are here in the valley with us and thinking about coming back to church, I would let you know that next Sunday, October 11th, we will abandon the tent and cautiously move back inside for an 8 a.m. and a 10 a.m. service. So if you're considering coming back, please know that we are beginning that process of moving church from the outside to the inside. And we'll do that slowly and cautiously. There are a number of precautions that we're taking in order to keep people safe, in order, especially spacing them out inside the church. Everyone will be required to wear a mask. Families with kids will be in Hanson Hall, able to view church on the two screens that we have hanging in Hanson Hall. And there'll be a number of crafts and activities for kiddos as well. So would love to have you back when you feel comfortable being back. But just a reminder that from here on out, from here to eternity, we will continue to broadcast this live stream every Sunday. So happy to have you with us virtually or have you with us in person. After the ringing of a bell and a moment of quiet, we'll continue with our worship.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you made us and all living things. You are even more wonderful than what you have made. We thank you for giving us these pets who bring us joy. As you take care of us, so also we ask your help that we might take care of those who trust us to look after them. By doing this, we share in your own love for all creation. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was an evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And so it was. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's say together Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the earth,
you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind doing his will, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world, young men and maidens, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name only is exalted, his splendor is over earth and heaven. He has raised up strength for his people, and praise for all his loyal servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near him. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Abruptly Jesus broke into prayer. "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work." Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. "The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So this week, we are celebrating the Feast of St. Francis, of course, and I thought, though I know most of us remember the story of Francis, I might give a little background of Francis. He's such an interesting character, not just in his own life, but in the life of the church as it extends out from his life to the present day. And we have this wonderful tradition of bringing pets and other animals into the church on this feast day, this movable feast day annually. We do that, and that's connected to a portion of how Francis expressed himself as a person of faith. But we remember, of course, that Francis is born into a fairly powerful family. He is the son of an Italian cloth merchant, and his mother is a woman of French nobility from the Provence area of France. So there was already this political, cultural, economic union that happened with his parents, and Francis is born while his father is not in Italy. He is born in Italy, but his father is in France on a business trip that was a quite lucrative business trip. And when he's born, his mother names him Giovanni. When his father returns from this trip from France to meet his new son, he begins to call him the Frenchman as a nickname, or Francesco. So he gets this second name in his infancy. He grows into this character who at the time in his community would be considered, you know, wealthy, well-to-do, of course. He's also quite handsome and charismatic. I think today we would call him popular. As a young adult, he's a popular kid. But he still is always connected to a sort of mystical experience of spirituality. And he begins to bump up against the church as a young adult in interesting ways. It's not until he leaves home to fight in a foreign war, where he is captured, imprisoned for a year, and then during his imprisonment, he becomes quite ill, and he begins having visions. Those visions extend after his ransom is paid, and he is released to his family and returned home. And to make a long story short, he finds himself in a chapel one day after having a number of visions prior to. The chapel is in ruins. He is saying prayers, and he has this vision where Jesus is imploring him to rebuild the church. He takes this vision quite literally and picks up the task of rebuilding San Damiano, this church, this chapel, but he does it somewhat dishonestly. He takes cloth from his father. He steals it from his father's business. I suppose we would call him an embezzler. He embezzles some money from his father's business in order to support the rebuilding of this chapel, but the clergy who are in charge of that chapel are not comfortable with receiving a gift that's embezzled. The gold is left on the floor. Francis is punished by, and then subsequently sort of disowned by, his family. And he becomes, over the course of the next year or two, this wandering monk that we recognize in the pictures with the tonsure and the brown cloak and the rope sash around his waist with a bird on his elbow and a deer at his hand. There's this wonderful story. So Francis, because he spends so much time out in creation, he's one of us in the sense of he really connects to God within the context of creation and all of its creatures. And there's this wonderful legend that's attached to his growth into this role as a monk and a leader of religious faith. As he's moving around and preaching the gospel, in these different communities and taking in all of the natural beauty as he moves from place to place, he comes upon this town, and just outside of this town, there's a lone wolf. The lone wolf is predating on both the livestock and the human population of the community. And the legend says that Francis moves out of the city into the wilderness, encounters this wolf, blesses the wolf, brings the wolf back to the city and says, the wolf has agreed to no longer predate upon the people and the livestock of this community. But in the bargain that we have made with the wolf, you as the town people must feed him. And so that's a piece of the story that brings and connects Francis both to the earth and then also to the creatures of the earth, the ability that he has to communicate with the creatures of the earth. So of course it comes as no surprise to us that we celebrate his feast day with the Genesis story. Mm-hmm. If you remember the Genesis story, this is the first story of two separate creation stories that we have. And the most important point that we hear in this Genesis story is how creation is thoughtfully and lovingly made through the work of God, this partnership that God has created. So what we see in these beats of the creation story is God's handprints and heart prints over the whole face of creation, not just the ground, but all the creatures, every slithering thing, also in the sky, also in the water, also in all the marine life that's in the water. God is all over creation. And of course, we can't tell this Genesis story in our age, I believe, without condemning the lazy interpretation of fundamentalists, right? I mean, it takes us no time at all to read this story. And no, this is not a literal story. Mm. And we don't have to disempower the beauty of God's story and the beauty and character of the way that God creates creation by saying that it happened this way literally over the course of 7 days. But the thing that we do that we can't miss in the story that's so important, and it's my very favorite part, is that there are these beats in the story, and the beats are characterized by God's creation, God's creating power, and then I feel God moving back, and God sets God's eyes over each movement of creation, and he says, ah, it's good. That Hebrew word, tov, it's repeated all throughout the story. You just hear, good, 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 good. And so what the story is doing is driving this goodness or driving this godness into creation and every creeping, crawling, created thing. It's so much more powerful when we read it that way, rather than like, well, on the fifth day, he did this. This was on God's to-do list on Friday, so he did this. No, that's not it. That's not the point. The point of this story is the goodness and the godness. And Francis is one of those characters within the post-biblical narrative of the faith who sees that. Mm-hmm. And we, those of us who live in Jackson, or those of us who don't live in Jackson but have a love for Jackson, are the inheritors of that. We get it when we hit the trail, when we're on the river, when we're on the lake, when we're standing on top of a rock, when we're in the midst of that snowfall. There's not a single one of us that doesn't connect to that feeling, that like, ah, that good feeling. And then the feast The Feast of St. Francis picks up this passage from Matthew, and I love the way that Eugene Peterson translates it. Jesus, prior to the passage, is being quite stern. But then it switches gears, and Peterson translates it, Jesus began to speak quite tenderly to the crowd. You heard that. Yeah, it's such a wonderful, wonderful turn of the story there. And what I like to think, why we're pushing these two stories together with Francis's story, is because Jesus in this moment is beginning again to identify with and to connect with the goodness, the godness in creation. And in particular, it is the goodness and the godness in this portion of Matthew. It's the goodness and the godness that's in us, in humanity. And I was really pushing my attention back into these stories this week, I was wondering to myself, first just a fascination and to be reanimated by that beautiful story again, and then to take those three deep breaths and just to wonder, do you have a sense that you, when you were created, that goodness, that godness was a part, it was the substance of your very creation. It's the matter that God creates with in such a beautiful and profound way. And I just wanted to take a moment with it. And I know so many people are struggling right now. So many people that I love are struggling right now. And I just wanted to, I reached out to one today and just said, like, hey man, I was just looking at this story again, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. And then I said, hey, that goodness, that godness, it's in you. Mm-hmm. It's, do you know that? And the response was like, a lot of people have been telling me that these days. And I said, I hope you believe it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm turning to y'all and thinking, I'm wondering where you have seen that goodness, that godness in creation or in creatures in these past few days or few weeks.
You know, it's we do live in an area that continually awes us, right? Yeah. And that is such a blessing, and it's why we're here. You know, you can sort of set out for the day, and I live right by the Elk Refuge, and so when I walk out of my house every day, I see the Tetons, I'm like,
that's where
right.
They are.
Right. But you don't have to live in Jackson and be surrounded by that awesomeness to still get that sense of awe. I remember sitting in the backyard with my father-in-law on their farm in South Dakota, and it's just flat and dry farmland. And he looks out at that and he said, sun was setting, he said, I bet you've never seen anything like that in your life. Right? I mean, it's all around us. I think it's easier to be awed by the beauty of nature around us than by the miracle of us, right?
Of humanity,
because you know, we got lots of warts and things that make
scars.
I tend to see that as we've been thinking about that this week, watching my now pretty much grown children and their interaction, and really trying to focus on the miracle that they are. Like the goodness of them. And Oscar has a new pet ferret named Pickle. And watching him just adoring this kind of annoying little rat-like thing he just loves. And watching that interaction. And just trying to be more present in the miracle and the awesomeness and the goodness and godness in both the natural creation and in one another. And I think for me, the other thing that came up is that I think I separate them a little bit. And so remembering that we are actually a part of the creation.
Yeah.
We're not separate from.
No.
And that's powerful to think about it that way.
Yeah.
Cool. The last thing you said really resonates with me, because I think one of the challenges of living in a place that is so dramatically spectacular.
So exaggerated.
Is that sometimes I think we sort of become spectators.
We could be.
Rather than participants.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
In this creation that we're so blessed with, you know. I think it's similar to, you know, the challenge of not letting, as we've talked about lately, letting our spirituality become a transactional thing. Mm-hmm. There's something similar there in being really careful not to let our participation in creation become a spectator.
When I hear that in my circle, it's when somebody says like, hey, do you want to go tag a summit?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. No. I want to go walk with you.
Right.
I'm
like,
I don't want to stand on something and conquer it.
Right.
Or
right.
I want to participate with it and be integrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Integrate. Exactly. Yeah. Because what I hear in the Genesis story is connection.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I've often I love the scientific study of ecology, because it just shows us that creation is a web, and mm-hmm. if you pluck it over here, it's going to vibrate over here.
Yeah.
And that we don't just stand back and watch this web.
Right.
We're part of it.
Right.
We're part of it. And I hear that in that Genesis story, that everything created by God is good, mm-hmm. and everything that was created by God and is continually being created by mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
This is what we miss when we go to the pure fundamentalist reading of this story, done in 7 days, complete. Well, when we look at nature and culture and mm-hmm. life, it's not set in stone, right? It's either growing or it's dying,
mm-hmm.
which of course is also part of the
right.
whole cycle too. But and then I just want to say one more thing. I had either never heard it or had forgotten that piece about Francis and the wolf,
mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of a mini story of domestication, right? Of how people, mm-hmm. You know, took wolves into their homes, into their lives, and fed them. Rather than being eaten by them. I don't think the wolves were eating the people, but I'll leave that part out.
Because they don't really do that.
No,
but we're afraid they're going to.
But exactly. But there's that connection again. There's that web, and the fact that we have domesticated animals, it just drives that home.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a theory out there that dogs really domesticated us,
mm-hmm.
not the other way around. If you think about who got trained.
Well, I was going to say, I think about that every time I see somebody with a little mutt mitt cleaning up after the dog on the trails. I'm like, who's trained who here? I think, you know, the Genesis story, going back to your point, is, and what we were talking about last week about hierarchy, there is no hierarchy. There is no the smallest creature in the sea is beneath the this or the that. It is all just this. So I think the concept of the web is so powerful. And we get messed up along the way with the other Genesis story about dominion and all of those sorts of things, which is also that sort of fundamentalist concept of that we somehow are higher than, higher beings. And I love this story in that it is just... It is all goodness.
Yeah.
I love that.
All the way through.
Have either of you ever, trying to remember the name of the movie, I want to say Brother Moon and Sister Sun.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen it.
So it is about the life of Lacey Francis.
Oh, really?
And it was made in like the 70s. It reminds me a little bit of the old Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Or Godspell. Uh-huh. Kind of has that vibe to it. But we used to watch it because we were church nerds in seminary for the Feast of St. Francis every year and have a little party and watch this movie. But it's very cute. I don't know how historically accurate it is, but I always think of that because it has this, yeah, this sort of 70s kind of groovy vibe to it. But it's a lot of fun.
Historic accuracy is not the point.
Not the point. It's not the point.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give you two pieces of homework. Mary just added one. If you want, you can scour Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever service you subscribe to and look for Brother Moon
and Sister Sun.
And Sister Sun.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or along these lines of these words that we have from Matthew's Jesus this week, that I love that line of learn the unforced rhythms of grace, learn to live freely and lightly. That both of those things are things that I need to learn. And I do think it's my association with and cooperation with the goodness of creation that draws me toward the unforced rhythms of grace or draws me toward living freely or lightly. So what I'm asking of all of us this week is that we identify, maybe once a day, spend a little time trying to identify that goodness, that godness that is in creation around you. Maybe you're doing that by gazing upon the
exaggeration. I see trees of green, red roses too.
Let us pray together the prayer attributed to Saint Francis. Let us pray. Lord,
make us an instrument of your peace.
For where there is hatred, let us sow love.
Where there is injury, pardon.
Where there is doubt, faith.
Where there is despair, hope.
Where there is darkness, light.
Where there is sadness, joy.
O God,
grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console,
to be understood as to understand,
to be loved as to love.
For it is in giving that we receive,
it is in pardoning that we are pardoned,
and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Amen.
Let us give thanks to God our Creator for all the gifts so freely bestowed upon us and for the beauty and wonder of your creation in earth and sky and sea.
We thank you, Lord.
For the richness of the mountains, plains, and rivers.
We thank you, Lord.
For all that is gracious in the lives of men and women.
We thank you, Lord.
For all creatures that breathe and move and have life.
We thank you, Lord.
For the songs of birds and the loveliness of flowers and trees.
We thank you, Lord.
For the trust you have shown in giving into our care these, our pets.
We thank you, Lord.
That each pet here may be treasured with care.
We thank you, Lord.
That we may love and honor all your works, O God.
We thank you, Lord.
That we may continue to grow in our grateful enjoyment of your abundant creation.
To the honor and glory of your name, now and forever,
we pray to you, Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Roxanne, Ken, Betsy, Mark, Eric, Paul, Carol, Rebecca, the Breitenbach family, Shelley, Holly, Stan, Megan, Amy, Ruth and Wayne, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Anne-Marie, Ned, Bonnie, Julie, Mary, Sue, John, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Emily and John, Kelly, Sue, Susie, Dee Dee, Mary, Thomas, Nikki, Kim, Tim, Jay, Jean, Cindy, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays: Theodore, Haley, Jeff, John, Marty, Kathy, Anya, Althea, Kaya, Maggie, Marianne, Atticus, Oliver, Justin, Catherine, Barbara, Matthias, and those celebrating anniversaries: John and Sherry, Nick and Kathy, Derek and Liz, Tim and Jean, Michael and Heather, John and Annette, Cody and Chilton, John and Susan, Larry and Joanne. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's pray together the blessing of the animals. Let us pray. O God,
we thank you for all the creatures you have made, so perfect in their kind. Great animals like the elephant and the rhinoceros, humorous animals like the camel and the monkey, friendly ones like the dog and the cat, working ones like the horse and the ox, timid ones like the squirrel and the rabbit, majestic ones like the lion and the tiger, for birds with their songs. O Lord,
give us such love for your creation,
that love may cast out fear, and all your creatures may see in humanity their caretaker and friend, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the wild animals of our valley, raptors and ungulates, ursus and canis lupus. We thank you for every flying, creeping, wagging, slithering, and galloping creature. In them we see your creativity. In them we see your love. Guard and protect them. Help them flourish and multiply. We bless them as you bless us. Amen. Amen. May our hearts feel the song of the meadowlark, our minds the clearness of the mountain air, and our souls the freedom of the soaring eagle. May our faith be renewed as the creek in spring. May we celebrate the saving redemption of the cross in all its mysteries. May we always feel the love of the community of Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.